we just happen to have the opportunity to have a very special guest here this morning. My brother Stephen has talked about Daniel for a number of months now and telling me that you've got to get Daniel to speak at Answers in Genesis. And he is over here on a tour. Daniel Shayesta is an ex-radical Muslim. And he was involved in part of the, what'd you call it, the revolutionary, the Islamic Revolution. And he's a Christian. And he speaks on different religions and comparing them to Christianity. And he's going to give his testimony this morning how he changed from being a radical Muslim to being a Bible-believing Christian. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Daniel. Gracious Lord, we just thank you for the great opportunities you give to us here at Answers in Genesis. Thank you for Rob and Gina for being servants to even get involved in this today and to bring Daniel down to us, enable us to share in what he has to say. We ask your blessing upon him, upon his ministry, and all that he does as he stands for you here in America and Australia and around the world. We know that, Lord, he's had lots of threats, and as a Muslim who becomes a Christian, we know that that's a very difficult thing to do. And we pray that you would protect him and send your guiding angels to watch over him, watch over his ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. This book, A Journey from Gods to Christ, covers six major religions of the world. It touches the nature of gods and the source of sin in different religions. The major section of this book are the responses, questions and responses. It's unfortunately, Christianity is not known in the context of the world. I was myself a professor in the university for 8 years, which sadly I lost it because of my faith in Christ in Sydney, University of Technology. But it was so sad, really, to see our universities are lacking, really, understanding the deeper layer of the cultures and religions and other people. So that was the motivation I started to write this. I have studied all other philosophies and religions for 25 years, not continually. Any time I had time and interest, I have done that. So I put that in that book. The difference is the sun compares Islam with Christianity all in all dimensions of life, from philosophy and history and, you know, doctrine, morally, and all other dimensions. Just try to introduce Islam to the world, because Islam you hear in the Western society is not the Islam, really, in the Quran. So that's why we need to understand this religion. It's a religion everywhere is fighting with people, with Hindus, with Buddhists, with Christians, with the Jews. Women in Islam is not my book, it's my friend's book, but I just found it interesting that people to understand and what Islam is. Especially a lot of girls in Western societies are becoming Muslim and without knowing the nature of Islam. Ladies and girls in Islam are called mute animals. They are using the terrible verses of the Quran. Quran says ladies are inferior in chapter 2, verse 282. And in chapter 4 says you can beat your wife, lock them in the room until they die. Whole lot of things. So they're justifying why Muhammad said to do this, because they are animals, so he's doing that. Please feel free to look at them. Here I've put here if you have time. I'm going to give you a very brief of my testimony. It's 4 hours, really. if you have got any question, and after that you're free, you can ask me questions. This is the country I've come from. I've come from the northern part of Iran. I was born in a nominal Islamic family. My parents encouraged me to be a religious boy because I was managing well in their school, so they invested in my life, and they thought I could become a good religious boy. That's the custom in Islamic societies, that at least each family should have a religious boy. I was 9 years old, able to recite the whole Quran from the beginning to the end, and that made me a famous boy in the area, and people called me to their religious events. I recited the Quran for them. We learned from childhood that Christians and Jews are unclean people. Quran says they are unclean, and dogs, you know, animals. If you touch them, you become unclean. You have to wash and rush and wash yourself in a religious way. We use these two words as swear words. It's popular in Islamic world. If you call someone a Jew or a Christian, that's very bad swear words. You don't know about Christians and Jews. About Christ, you just have heard that he's a good prophet, but he was Muslim. It's in the Quran is written all prophets were Muslim. All humankind were Muslim. That's why they believe that they have to revert all of them. So that's the mindset of people, really. It's the mindset of Islam. It's the doctrine of Islam we learn from childhood. Not only you do not want to become Christian, you don't want even to be called Christian. But I praise the Lord Jesus that he has done this amazing miracle in my life, in my family's life, and brought us out. I have got stories really with him. Even I was a young lad. Some of the stories made me angry because there was the Christianity in it. But after I believed in Christ, those stories became just powerful tools in my life, which I haven't got time to talk to you. What I want to say to you, really, he had a plan for me. And you will hear that from where he rescued me. I finished my high school and entered university. In the university, I became a radical Muslim, followed this Ayatollah Khomeini. He was really a wild man against Christians and Jews, especially Jews. That Jews should be really killed. There should not be a single Jew in the world. So through his guidance, possibly some of you remember that we put pressure on the ruling king, and he escaped. He was the most powerful man in the Middle East. And you see also Jimmy Carter there. It's a long story. Western governments really loved this man because they were going to use him as a shield in front of the Russian communism, and they didn't know that Islam does not let you to be a sincere friend with someone. In the second year, some of you possibly remember that we had 400 American hostages. You know, we invaded the American embassy, the system. So we captured the country. And the day he entered the UN, I was so excited. I cried like many other students. And we said, that's him again, that we are going to rule this country by Islamic law to have democracy and freedom inside the country. We didn't know that Islam hates democracy. We were radical Muslim. We didn't know Islam. That's the case. Muslims do not know Islam. Only leaders are able to interpret the verses of the Quran. There is a verse there is a saying in Arabic. It's so famous. Every Muslim know that. Al-Avvam kal-An'am. That means all humankind are animals, including even those nominal Muslims or followers. They cannot interpret the Quran. God is unknowable. You cannot know God. So that's the mindset. We just blindly followed him. We were excited here. This is the photo I have taken from him. Two times I visited him, but second time was the second year after the Islamic Revolution that I was not happy. That caused the death penalty for me. But here I was excited. He's sitting there at the top, waving to us. We went and visited him, committed ourselves to him, and promised him to make every single Iranian radical Muslim and to take Islam to the end of the world. Because I was a famous boy, immediately after the Islamic Revolution, I was called to start the Revolutionary Army. That's me there, beardy boy here, 25 years old. The major goal of the Revolutionary Army, which is now the major army in Iran, was to go and kill all the Jews, capture Israel, and make Israel as the capitalist state for all Islamic nations. That's the doctrine of Islam. There should not be a single Jew in Israel. If there is a single Jew, there is not peace in the world. I mean, you heard some of the leaders such as Yasser Arafat or his followers are saying that now we are searching for peace. They are lying. They are acting, if they are sincere, they are acting against Islamic doctrine. That's me again. This is me praying in the mountainside. Friends are following me there. Mountainside is important for radical Muslim because they mark mountain always. In your country, four boys last year, they were involved in suicide bombing, just came from mountain. There was a nominal boy, even in 4 days, they changed his life and he came and killed himself and other people. Yeah. After that, I became involved with young boys and girls to mobilize them for our second major goal. This is me here, young boy and young girl, just photo shows three of us there. For our second major goal, was to destroy America. America is a superpower country, sends a lot of missionaries to the world, and has army agreement with many countries, and a lot of Jews in America, they support Israel. If we destroy America, it's easier to take Islam to the end of the world. And still, they spend a lot of money in America, more than any other country. American Islamic growth is more than any other country in the world. And American Islam is a subtle Islam, too. And it breaks really my heart. And I walk in different places, go to different universities. I see that my plans are getting fulfilled here. One day, they were my evil plans in this country. This is my wife. She was a radical Muslim too, a very fiery girl. And I said, wow, this is mine. For the same interest, we got married. We got married in the mosque. This is not popular in the Middle East, but we wanted to make it popular because mosque is so important in Islamic movement. If you build a mosque in a country, according to Islamic doctrine, that country does not belong to the people who live in that country anymore. It's an Islamic country. So if there is a mosque in America, that's Islamic. And Muslim should fight, even if they are not involved in jihad or in any activity to capture this country, they are sinning. That's the doctrine of Islam. And so that's why we wanted to teach these young boys. You see young girls, young boys sitting other side, you do not let them to sit with each other. We were going to send them as terrorists, as missionaries to other countries. They had to know that immediately Muslims get to other countries, their first responsibility is really to collect, to bring some Muslim together and build a mosque. And Saudi Arabia has your best friend, has millions of dollars, you know, to spend for building mosque. And just they are interested to build mosque in every corner, even though there are not Muslims. I was in Nayak speaking in a college in March. And they said they are building a mosque on the top of the mountain. Are there any Muslims here? No, we haven't heard that. So that's their doctrine, really. They just want to build mosque. You know, Istanbul was captured. In 2 years or 1 year, they built 4,400 mosques in that city just to say this is an Islamic. Still, you know, huge mosques are there. Well, this is our marriage day. Do you see any smile on their faces? No, Islam teaches anger and hatred. There is a subject called angry subject. I was a teacher of that subject. How to become angry. How to hate your, you know, oppositions and enemies. And how to cut their heads. This is after our marriage. You see my face there. My daughter is 5.5 years old. That's why she is not covered like my wife. Muslims cover their daughters from the age of 7 because the age of 7 is the age of marriage in Islam. Muhammad's wife, one of his wives was 6 years old. He was 49. And he says, you can send your daughters before that. Husbands will be able to look after them. And she died while she was 17 years old. Some of them died, really. My family... Myself, in the second year, became a powerful politician, leader of the political party. But this time, we questioned the authority of the leader. Because he promised us that everybody, every group would be free inside the country. But till the second year, many of our friends were slaughtered. And we even lost the little bit of freedom we had from the time of king. So we questioned his authority very indirectly and very nicely. I was speaking in a parliamentarian propaganda. I said, we are going to build this country. If anyone does a mistake, we have to kindly remind him, even our leader, death penalty. Because in the Quran is written, chapter 8, verse 10 to 12, or chapter 33, if anyone questions the leader, Muhammad and Islam, his fingers should be chopped first and head second. Actually, they killed the family last year in Georgia, just in this way, Atlanta, here in your country. So, What happened? We won the government. My friend became the president in the country. He won 98% of people's vote. But mullahs, clergies, 2%. He was the leader after 1 year, 2%. But that's not a pleasant thing for radical Muslims. They had the gun and everything in their hand. In secret, they slyly started to kill the members of government. 3 times they initiated to kill the president. He escaped. He's a refugee in France now. Some of us were killed. Some of us escaped. I was one of them kidnapped and put in a dead cell. It was a toilet. I lived several months in a toilet. It's a horrible prison. I haven't got time to talk to you. Most painful prison. I've read a lot of books about the Russian communist prison. This is not comparable to that. They cut the ear of one of my followers. They never kill virgin opposition girls without sleeping with them. That's Islamic. You sin if you kill her without sleeping with her. And they kill, and then they sleep with her, they kill her, and then after that they take the dress and talk to mom. I slept with your daughter. This is religious, you have to say that. And this is we killed her, this is the dress. And this is a little bit money. It is called in Islamic language the money of milk you have given to her for the time I spend with her. And you throw that money on the ground. Some of moms died. Many of them fainted. Muslim moms. Islam is a cruel religion, even to Muslims. But unfortunately, Muslims do not know that. So that's the prison. From there, I was taken to another prison and waiting in the death row with 4 other friends. 4 of them were killed. And I'm here speaking for the glory of the One. I didn't know him, but he had a plan for me. And I could escape the death penalty and the country from Iran to Turkey. In Turkey, I started to learn the language, entered university. To make myself busy, in the second year, I found a fellow Iranian man who had a business there. I became friend. He invited me to put my money with his, make the capital large. I did. But after a while, he took all my money and he escaped to Germany. It was a huge money in the Middle East, 25,000 American. I couldn't do anything because everything was in his name. But he was going to a church there. He was not Christian, he was Muslim, but that church was so active, sometimes he was going there. I had no choice but to go to that church, to ask them why this happened to me. Very challenging and scary to go to a church. Challenging because it's an unclean land, according to Islam building. And it's scary if a Muslim sees you, what will be your response? But however, my money encouraged me to go in. Everything started from there. I saw these people were so moral and good people. Because you always learn that Christians are immoral people. Most immoral people in the world. And they have terrible sayings about ladies and girls, Islam says. And I was shocked. These people were so moral people. Especially there were couples there. They were also helping Muslim refugees. And they offered their help to me too. And they said, we can find this man in Germany for you and beg him to give your money back. And sincerely, they did that. The reason I continued to go to the church, because they promised me they would write that letter. They said, if we get any response from them, so we would be able to share that with you. So I was continually going to the church for my money. But I discovered these people were so beautiful people. We Muslim call these people ungodly, unclean people, but what a beautiful people these unclean people are. Their messages were so powerful. I was teaching philosophy in Iran. It was so powerful to me. They said, we belong to the kingdom of God, not Satan anymore. Why? God is mighty. Every Muslim knows God is mighty. Can mighty God save? Well, that's logic. He's mighty, he can save. We are sinners, aren't we? Muslims know that too, because in the Quran it's written, you're a loser. They are afraid from the future. We called mighty God, we are in problem, please come and help us. As we call our parents, they immediately come. God is more loving than our parents. We called him, he came. Unchained us from the kingdom of Satan and took home and sealed us. We now belong to him. He is with us, we are with him. If God is with you, who is against you? That's logic too. It was powerful, really. I loved it. But I didn't say to them, I love it. Because they had some other problems. I didn't like them. They called Jesus as God. I didn't like that. Quran says they have made a man as God for themselves. Muslims do not know. It's not a man-made God. It's God who made himself a man. This is a different philosophy. He is the only savior. I didn't like that either. I said, this is selfish. What about others? They said also, Jesus is the Son of God. This is the only unforgivable sin in the Quran. You have to be killed and you go to hell. They talked also a lot about the Jews. Open the Bible, read it, the Jews, and close it, the Jews. I hated Jews. Every Muslim hates Jews. I said, what is wrong with these nice people? Beautiful people, funny ideas. I really felt for them. I said, I'm going to help these people. They're nice people. They are going to help me to get my money back. I will help them to understand the reality and fact. It's a long story. These people were simple people, but powerful people. I think Christianity is missing the spirit of simplicity. It's just churches are complicated, my friends. I've been in many churches, really. If we do not come out with this complication, we are going to be the most losing people in the world. That simplicity really was so powerful. When you're simple, also Jesus comes into your life. He shows his mighty, you know, power. And he did in their lives, in their relationship with me. I had a dream one night. Painful, there were earthquakes, a lot of other things, people died. I called God, please help me. Jesus appeared to me and said to me, I will help you come out from your father's house. I was exactly in my father's house. I went out, the house fell down. The following Sunday, I went to the church, and a preacher was preaching there. His preaching, his sermon was, the house on the rock of Jesus. In his sermon, he said, come out from your old house. Live in the house that Jesus has built for you. Your old house is the old tradition you have inherited from your forefathers. It's the house of evil. Every pain is coming from that house. Come out. Live in the house that Jesus has built for you on the rock. It's the house of absolute joy, absolute freedom, absolute peace. The kind of your listening describes the quality of your house. If you listen to Jesus, nothing is going to destroy your house. But if you not, your house is going to be destroyed. Jesus, like eagle, he said, soaring on the high. He was there, a light I saw there. Calling us, come to me. I will establish you on a higher ground. That's the ground that evil cannot come there. Satan cannot there. Come out. That amazed me. And I started to be interested to read their books. And I asked them, they gave me a New Testament. By starting that book, I was amazed. I was amazed. This Bible is an amazing book. You know why I'm saying this? Because I've read all other religious scriptures. It's just an amazing book. I was amazed in all dimensions of my life. Philosophically and spiritually, I discovered that God is a personal God, is a relational God, is a functional God, is the God with image. Emmanuel, God is with us. I never knew that. I was teaching philosophy. I thought possibly the Christian philosophy is an impersonal philosophy because all other religions, more or less, they believe that God is impersonal. God cannot be with you philosophically. He's an impersonal. You cannot attribute any personality to him. He hasn't got legs, you know, legs, hands, eyes, mouth. He cannot talk. This is an important area for you people who speak about Genesis, actually. impersonal God even cannot create. Muslims are trying to build a philosophy for themselves against, you know, atheism and materialism, communism. It's impossible. God is impersonal. Impersonal God cannot create. Impersonal God does not exist. Even Neoplatonism said we cannot say God is 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, if you cannot say God is 1, 2, 3, 4, I can even say God is 0. Because 0 is a number too. How do you know that? They said God hasn't revealed himself. How we are not able to say God is 1? Clever people. This is the important area. Just was a spark in my life. God is personal. That made sense to me. If God is creator, if God has taken soil, shaped it, and breathed in it, this is all personality. That God should be a personal God. Should be a relational God. My conscience was getting, you know, knowledge, learning. That's why I'm saying to you, it's an amazing book. I can't speak about this. My smaller book is speaking about this. Just there. It's just delicious ideas, you know, area to talk. I have led many Muslims to Christ even with this simple philosophy. Doctrinally, I was amazed. I really love Jesus. Even forget about religion. He is the greatest scholar in the world. He says, this is the things that our universities are lacking. My friends, our universities have become the dumbest places in the world. I'm sorry I'm saying this. This is the reality. In the Western society, still they are living under the imagination of 50, 60 years, you know, ago's invention. We invented that. Doctrinally, Jesus says, you have to first be in the kingdom. He says, search the kingdom first. And then everything will be given to you. Now, philosophically, that means you have to first be put on your original route. You have to be taken first to home, that home you were with God. And then to be good. He is talking about your identity, your citizenship. Your citizenship, identity is so important. If you're not with God, you cannot be good. You cannot act good. Because we have two kingdoms, one Satan, another one God. If you're not with God, you're with Satan. You cannot act good because your leader is different. Do you understand what I'm saying? I haven't seen my mom 18 years. She cries from other end, I cry from this end. Sometimes I wanted to convince her, Mom, I'm a good boy now. I'm not like your other sons. They hate each other. They take each other to the court. That's the product of Islam in Iran. That was not the life in Iran. Mom, I'm a good boy now. I do not do many terrible things I was doing before. You know what was the answer? She said, I don't care, son. You're good or bad. I just want to have you. That's the God in the Bible. I don't care who you are. Just come home. That was Jesus amazed me, really. Philosophically, doctrinally like this, I was amazed socially, politically. Well, if you're amazed doctrinally and spiritually, philosophically, of course you're amazed politically and socially. I cannot impose myself on other people. I can love even my wife. We can be together one. I can even love my enemy. He's so good. He starts to teach you from the hardest place. Can you love Osama bin Laden? My goodness. That's him. He teaches you. Because love is the only power unchains people. You see my life? He changed my life. Because he was only able through love to unchain my heart. I put the gun in my heart down. Then I became a nice boy. You know, it was amazing, really. I was amazed. It's a long story, especially Paul's writings. He's a marvelous man. I love this man. He knows what he believes. And I gave my heart to him. And after that, he did other amazing things in my life. You see, I'm smiling there. Praying for Turkey. Brought my family, they joined me in Turkey. In an amazing way, he changed the life of my wife and children. In an amazing way. You know, in the second week, she said to me, "Why are you treating me like this? You don't understand that." I was treating her, to trying to be a good Muslim, treating her like an animal. "You're changed. Why? As soon as I heard this sentence, I became so excited and jumped, brought my New Testament and opened to her. I said, "Yes, this book, Jesus, changed my life. I have given my heart to Jesus." You remember I was talking to you while you were in Iran. We were talking to each other. She asked me, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing. I have found a friend." I couldn't say this friend is Jesus. If you say, they divorce you on the spot. They do not come. Actually, she made fun of me. She said, "You're very clever in finding friends. You found one who took your money and escaped. I don't know what is this one going to do with you." This friend changed my life. As soon as she heard that, she was terrified. It's terrifying to become a Christian in the Middle East. Because always you're taught Christianity is ugly. They are immoral people. They are the most bad people in the world. She was terrified. She was afraid. She frightened me. I thought, oh, she takes children and goes back to Iran. I just caught Jesus, took Jesus. I did not release him. I really love him. I'm ready to die for him. I get always desperate, as brother said. But I don't care about that. I know even if I die, I will lead millions of people to Christ. And Muslim world. And he was so good to me. It's a long story. After 2.5 months, early in the morning, she woke up. I woke up and she woke up. She said she had a dream with Jesus. With several other ladies, they were walking with Jesus on a mountainside. They all could go through a steep valley, but she couldn't go. Jesus called her, "Come." She said, "I'm afraid I cannot come. If I come, I fall down." Jesus said, "Be not afraid. Take your first step." She took the first step. The valley was raised up. The mountain came down. All mountainside became flat. While she was saying that, my hair rose. I jumped and brought my Bible. I said, "This is written in the Bible." A voice of a calling man in the desert. All valleys and mountains will become level. Why? This is the God of the Bible. Because he's walking in front of you. He first is the one really wants to take the difficulties on his shoulder. You just have to be courageous. Take your first step. I was reading the passages to her and she was crying. That was the morning she opened her heart to the Lord. That was the morning I just started to apologize her for all the terrible things, Islamic things I had done to her. That was the first morning in my entire life, for the first time, I called her honey. Because he is so sweet. He's yummy. He's delicious. He brought us together. He did amazing thing in the midst of my children. He did amazing thing, really, in the midst of my children. We were amazed. Wow. He's the God of children too. That's why Bible says through the mouth of infant you will silence the foe. He just really humbled us. And that's why we have committed ourselves to him. The inferior creatures of Islam are the princesses of Jesus Christ. Do you know, ladies, you are the princesses of Jesus Christ? Do you know that? Come on, head, nod your head. Say yes, because you belong to the kingdom of God. So you're princess. You men are princes. He has given a great price for us. He has taken us home. We belong to the kingdom of God. But there is a challenge there. If we are princes and princesses, everybody should know us. That's the life of kingdoms, you know. They know their kings. They know their princess, their princes. So what I'm encouraging you here is this. We have to put Jesus in the first priority, no matter who you are. A scholar, a carpenter, a teacher. We have to be humble in front of the Jesus, because the only solution for the society is Jesus. Jesus is the answer for this terrible multiculturalism. It's an elegant word they have brought here. But it's the nonsense, you know, a word that they do not have any value for practicing. They do not know how to live with each other. Everybody is right, you know that. That's the king of this society, humanism. Everybody is right. Even their own logic is against their logic. Everybody is right. You imagine Osama bin Laden also comes, sits here. Yes, that's good. We are all right. You live passive and I kill you. We need to really rescue this society. American, please listen to me. This is the time for us. And it always was time for us, but we didn't do that. And after that, we are going to have difficult times. We have to really raise our voices. We have to teach our children. We have to teach our communities to stand for Christ. He's so good. He's so beautiful. His values in every dimension of life, just unique and unique. No value is similar to His values. May the Lord Jesus empower all of us so to stand for Him wherever we live and whatever we do. Thank you very much for your time.